139, verses 1, 2, and 4. Some may know, some may not know. They found a blood clot in Preacher Billy's lungs. So he is at the hospital right now, and Scott Cherry with him. Brother A.D. was telling me, because I asked him, he said, man, how'd they even find that? Because I mean, medically speaking, I'm pretty ignorant. I don't know how this stuff works. Like, I don't know how you, yeah, what symptom do you have? You go to the doctor and they find a blood clot. But he was saying they thought he had a kidney stone, and they were looking for that, they found that blood clot. So we appreciate the Lord watching out for Preacher Billy there and making it so that they were able to find that. So I'm not sure, do y'all know exactly what state or stage that he's in on that? Have they had said anything? I know a lot of times when you go to the emergency room, if you're not actively dying, you know, it's kind of, you feel like you sat there for a long time. But just pray for him, pray for to help him and give him grace and those family members that are there, being with him, encouraging him, pray for the doctors, that God will give them the skill that's needful. I guess if somebody else to come to mind. But anyway, who's got a request of prayer about lifted hand this evening? Amen. Do you remember
the Lord, she's in the hospital. She has a lot of fluid
in her hands. Oh, okay. Is it like on her arm?
I think because the Lord said she
that's what Lori's dad has? Okay. Okay. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Remember Miss Barbara. Are Matt and Ashley okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tony, he's not feeling well tonight. He's not really sick. I think he's pretty much worn out from the day, but he's not feeling great. Remember me still. I'm still congested, and I went to the doctor today just for my checkup, and she said, well, you still got an ear infection, so, and tomorrow's the last antibody, so I don't know what we're going to do after that, but we'll see.
Amen. Remember this. Glad you mentioned that. I assume Tony was just running late from work there.
Yeah. And remember Luke, he has to have somehow decrease the size of his adenoids and something through the palate, and that's on the 24th of this month.
Okay.
So remember him.
Amen.
He has a lot of congestion and ear drainage, and he can't, when he's eating, he has to take a bite and then breathe, and he's been that way since he was a little baby, and now they finally figure out what to do, so pray for him.
Has anybody heard an update on the Chapmans? I know Christine was saying that nothing had been posted. I don't know. Okay. Well,
I think they've been feeling a little bit better. When I asked Katie how Lucy was the other day, she said they seem to be getting better.
Okay, good. Amen.
The picture she posted today looked like Lucy felt better. She was smiling and cheerful.
Okay. Sometimes, you know, not all kids, but sometimes the little ones take it a little better than we do.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of times if there's a little something wrong with Ed, it's like he don't even care. We're sitting there like worried about him or whatever, and it's just all giggling and happy. How's Brother Fred holding up?
He's doing okay. Age is telling on him pretty good right now. He can't get his right arm up too good. Just keep praying for that. Get a CT scan on his spine tomorrow. That's just part of where he failed.
Okay.
The first time when he broke his neck. Like, just checking on things. So just keep him in your prayer. The other guy we meet Sunday morning, Mickey, he passed away Sunday afternoon about 2 o'clock. And, they preached his funeral Tuesday. And they got Chris Emery preached over Mars Memorial. They said he'd done a real good job presenting the gospel to everybody. And he made it clear to everybody was there. So just pray for that seed to spread. Maybe to take roots.
Amen. Remember this.
Pray for some of my friends that are lost at school.
Yes. Amen.
Continue to
miserably
and purpose time today if he wasn't ready to walk.
Just keeps dragging out on him, doesn't it? Now, is it still to do with the pacemaker, or?
No, it's something wrong with his leg.
Okay.
He can't move his foot back.
Now, is he at home?
Yeah. Yes.
I thought he was, but, okay. Continue to remember Brother Lee. And remember the Nation of Israel, too. Still just a lot going on over there. I'll be honest, I've had a little bit of trouble keeping up with it as far as exactly how we, you know, where we are on that, what the Lord knows. So just continue to remember them. Also remember the folks in Syria. Because with everything else going on, especially with Israel, I had forgotten about this, but the Assad regime was you know, overthrown back in December. Yeah, Bashar Assad was the dictator over Syria. I'm sure he probably had, I don't know, I think on the president, whatever. But, you know, it's, you know, essentially a monarchy. But there's been some, I don't know if you would call it, I mean, so it's a massacre, really, of a people group there that, Alawites? Something like that. Anyway, it's like, you know how it is with the Muslims over there. When this group gets in charge, they kill that group. And when that group gets in charge, they kill that group. But yeah, that's the thing. But there's some Christians getting caught up in it. And I don't know, we don't really have a clear idea of how many Christians have been killed, do we? And we kind of...
It says everybody. It says, well, it's in the hundreds.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, I mean, it's a tragedy for any of them to be killed, because if those folks die without Christ, I mean, they split hell wide open. I mean, at least the Christians, if they are in fact Christians, and that's not just applied to some kind of platitude, I mean, at least those folks are in heaven, right? But just pray the Lord will take care of that situation over there. And I know what the Bible says. There's going to be turmoil over there until Jesus comes back and straightens everything out. And the whole world's going to be in turmoil leading up to that. But, you know, still at the same time, I believe it's God's will for us to pray for peace.
Amen.
And we know we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So just continue to remember that stuff in your prayers. And I do appreciate we got a God that can keep up with it without
Amen.
Knowing exactly what's going on. Because if I did, I wouldn't have sense to know exactly what to ask for. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking to take care of it. You know what I mean? I'm happy as will be done.
I have a hard time keeping up with what's all going on in my church.
Yeah.
Much less my community or my state or my country or Syria. I'm lucky to even know there is a Syria.
Yeah.
But I know that there's people suffering. I know pray for them.
Yeah. Amen. Continue to remember Preacher Jimmy. He mentioned to me they're still trying to get their dump truck loads of dirt, and I'm sorry, I forgot what it's for. I know I mentioned it one time. I don't remember if it was for, they were doing great because they didn't want Sunday school rooms or something. But he mentioned it to me again. Pray the Lord to provide for them what they're needing there for that. So I definitely wanted to make mention of that. I did. I mentioned before Brother Scotty Mosteller, who is a deacon down at Preacher Terrell Crump's church, is expecting a grandbaby. His son Stormy and their wife are expecting their first, and I texted him today, and everything is still going very well, and the baby is expected somewhere around, I think he said like April 7th, April 8th, somewhere around in there, so continue to remember them.
Pray for me, I've been still, just this same old junk just keeps dragging on, and just congestion, don't feel good, I get home from work, and I just don't want to do nothing, I mean, I'm just drained.
Yeah.
And I used to take a nap every day. And I just, you know, I don't know. I got plenty of stuff to do, though, but I just ain't got the energy to do it. And I'm just tired. So just pray for me. The Lord help me with that.
Amen.
And get that. And I said, pray for my friend Bobby. He had to have surgery. He had a hernia. He had to have surgery yesterday morning. And he's not doing real good at all. He's hurt real bad. And he's real sore from it.
Amen. Remember that? I guess that's Bobby called.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I have a little bit of experience with. I remember that not being a whole bunch of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good.
I asked you to pray for a cousin of mine. She's not good 42, but she's in end stage liver failure. And they're trying to get her a transplant, but her kidneys are starting to fail. And they said if her kidneys fail, that they're only giving her a 20% chance to make it for 3 months.
Amen. Remember this.
You pray for her mama and her sister. Because they're pretty tight family.
You said it's some of your family in West Virginia?
No, it's Spruce Mountain.
Okay.
Yeah, my mama. side.
Okay, and man, remember this.
Yeah.
Which they've had a rough time anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Continue to remember Tim Young, the one Miss Candy mentioned prayer for. I forget that she, I think she said they put in his court, was it yesterday? I feel like it was
tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. I knew it was one of the tea days. I couldn't remember whether it was Tuesday or Thursday. Okay, so you said remember him if you would.
Remember Stormy and Carly. Yes. Jenny texted me that Shelly had sent her a message that Carly is now going to have surgery on her hand in the morning. She's still been in a lot of pain and just pray for them.
Same thing, you know, you have dreams about it for, you know, a while after, so I just can't even.
Yes.
I can't even.
And I didn't see the vehicle, but I heard it's just a miracle that they walked out of the house.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. You can show it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw the picture too. The whole front of it was just mashed flat.
Yeah.
So now Carly was the one that had been in mission, right?
No, that's Stormy.
That's Stormy.
Carly's
okay.
The younger one.
Okay.
She just had the hand broke. Or the wrist broke. Stormy had the wrist and the leg. I guess her hand and the leg. I'm not sure. I know the leg and either her wrist or hands.
Her wrist and her leg.
Wrist and her leg, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, definitely remember that.
She's, thing. I mean, they said she's still in pain a lot, but otherwise, you know, surgery and everything like that.
Okay. And you remember youth revival coming up?
Yeah.
Here, just, oh man, it's about a month, I guess. Yeah, we're right about that month point, so remember that. Always remember our pastor. I know you requested prayer, but just always remember that God will use him and guide him, because I know that he sees the right direction for our church as a body and what the Lord would have us do, and that the Lord would do the work in us that is needful to get us to that point.
Amen.
The more, you know, I just examine myself, the more I realize I'm just so dead, really. I mean, really, you know, compared to the way we've seen things in the past and all that, even just when I was a kid, I realized compared to that, I feel like I'm just so far away from the Lord. And you know, just realizing, too, that... you know, I don't believe we're going to get revival until we really have a desire for it. But then realizing that it's only by the work of the Holy Spirit that we can have a desire for it.
Yeah.
So I don't claim to understand all that and how all that is. I know that God's sovereign.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
If we do have to have revival, we'd have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not for lack of want.
A lot of times I feel like that I'm a hindrance to my own self, and I guess we probably all feel that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But just pray that God will give us that desire.
Yeah.
It's evident that we need something. I mean, I don't think that has escaped any of us, right? But just pray the Lord to get us where we need to be.
I want to thank God for the classmates.
I don't think I knew there was a school there.
Huffman University.
Oh, okay.
It's about answering a prayer request I had. I had a situation at work that was causing me some distress and issues, and the Lord took care of it.
Amen. Amen. I think we've all been there at some point. It's, you just say it, it sounds like a little thing, but it ain't. You have to go and face that every day. That's, thank the Lord for when He does stuff like that for us.
It was a girl work that works for me that was causing a lot of problems, and I prayed about it on the way to work, and I had a transfer request before I got to work that she was leaving, and
amen.
She left out the day and won't be back. So.
Amen. All right, that's all.
Good to see you all tonight at the Lord's house. Amen. I was over preaching Billy Miss Vivian's the other day, and I seen they had a bunch of old pictures that showed me. I seen some pictures, ain't they? He's a baby. You hear that, ain't they? I seen pictures of him, he's a baby. They had long curly hair and had him in a dress. I said, ain't no wonder he voted for Campbell. I told him, I said, I'm going to have to make that deep up there. That's pretty good. He's a cute little young and a little drunk. I said, well, some point in time he looked good, didn't he? Some of y'all, I guess she had messaged and told him, the group messaged, some of y'all don't know, we found out we're having a girl. So, Cambry's been tickled, Parker's been disappointed, and Sovereign's been mad. That's
the way it goes when you got, you know, great kids or so. You just learn, you may not worry about making everybody happy. It's good for you. Yeah. But in any case, on another note, I got some bad good news. Brother Francois Norseless Saturday went home to be with the Lord. And that's the bad good news. And sure, you know, I guess if you was looking at it from the world's point of view, it's bad news. And I know I hate the priest family and all, but I know that he ain't no suffering on his part. I was unaware, but apparently he's diagnosed several weeks back with a severe heart condition. They want to put a pacemaker in. And he was in the process of trying to find a Baptist hospital or somewhere that would be willing to help him out with the cost of it, because he didn't have a health insurance plan here in the United States. And he was down in Texas. But in any case, but the ministry's still going on. You know, he's already had people that's basically took his place there in Haiti. And, you know, he's just been sort of directed. Since he's got out, they've closed down transportation back and forth from the United States to Haiti, so nobody's been able to get in or out. And so he's not been able to go back, and that's why he's been stuck here. But we don't, right now, we don't have contact with anybody there. But we'll continue to support him for the time being. And hopefully, what we're hoping is to reestablish contact. I'm getting this information from preacher, Pastor Ricky Bishop. He's the one that introduced me to Francois to begin with. He's Pastor Drusilla Baptist Church in Marion. But Brother Ricky said, you know, he said, I ain't gonna bother him right now. They got a funeral to plan and one thing and another. But he said that sometime in the next few weeks, he's gonna try to get in touch with his son, Francois' son, and see if he can figure out, see if he can figure out some way to get, you know, back establish contact with him or whatever, you know, just so we can get updates and stuff like that. But be praying for them and the family of Brother Francois. And I know a lot of y'all met him. You know, he was here one time, and you might have got to talk to him some, you might not have got to. And he spoke sort of very broken English, but he was a blessing. He's a man of great discernment, and he had great power in prayer. And the Lord, you know, it just is amazing. He talked very slow. It'd take an hour to have a 10-minute conversation with him. I used to joke to say that. But the story, I used to love to listen to his stories that he would tell about. You wouldn't believe the miraculous things God had done in his life and down there in Haiti through prayer. And so he'll be missed, but nevertheless, you know, it's like he always said, it wasn't his ministry, it's the Lord's ministry. And he just had a responsibility there. And so I'm glad that he saw fit to, you know, I think he might have somehow seen, or, you know, been able to foresee some of this coming, because he's already, you know, been working the last few years to get things set up to where that it would, in his words, what he had told Ricky was that it would go on without skipping a beat. And so I thank the Lord for that. Foundations, okay? If you want, I've got a question. If you want to write this name. Study it out. Amen.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, one more time.
I said, get your hands ready.
Those are really big words. I'm struggling over here.
Okay.
Just one more time.
You're not alone.
Let me put it this way. Why do we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture and a pre-millennial tribulation? To put that simply, we believe that the rapture of the church will happen followed directly by the tribulation period of 7 years. And at the end of that 7 years, that Jesus will return in person among the Mount of Olives, and that the armies that are surrounding Israel will be swallowed up and consumed, and that he will establish his throne and reign out of Zion for 1,000 years. Okay, that's the millennial reign. But in summary, that's that. They call that the study of eschatology. It just means end times of events. It's complex, but not complicated. Put it that way. There's a lot to study there, but it is there.
Yeah.
And what makes it difficult is that it spans from Genesis to Revelation.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, contains a lot of stuff in the epistles and the gospels. And you know, Book of Daniel, and Isaiah, Zechariah. So you know, there's just scattered all throughout the Psalms. You know, there's different stuff all through that is talking about the end times. And so it's hard to study. It's hard for me to study. And you know, but I am just a redneck. So some of you more educated people probably can do it a little better than I can. But in any case, you look into that. Let's tell you. I always believed that because my grandpa always said that. And that's what I always heard preached. But I never knew why. That's like I, when I was lost, I was headed to hell. But I tell somebody in the heart that the King James Bible was the only way to go. That's what I've been taught. Didn't even know why. But, you know, well, it's good to learn. That's what this foundation study is about.
Yes.
You know, getting everybody involved and, you know, studying things out for yourself and establishing that good foundation.
Amen.
All right. Has anybody got a song they want to sing for you? So, Ed, you want to sing? You looking mighty sprite tonight, son.
His mouth's
full. Yeah, he would, but he's pretty busy right now. He's going to get that knob off that chewy for a little now. He's aiming to. But.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. Perfect submission, perfect delight.
somebody that stays busy all the time, if you don't know. This last week I happened, last 2 weeks I happened, I come home with the bed about every day. But usually I stay busy all the time. I like to stay busy. It's good for my nerves, it's good for my mind. My mind gets out there if I don't stay busy, and that's good for me. Some people, like my wife, for example, she's a hard-working woman, she really is. But if she gets too much to do, she just gets overwhelmed. I operate best when I have too much to do. That's just the way I am. Some people's different, you know. But because I like to stay busy, because I keep myself busy, and because I'm always moving, I'm impatient when it comes to having conversations and passing by. You probably don't always get to see that as much. Because here at church, you know, I'm more laid back. And, you know, I'm not in a hurry, and I'm usually not in a hurry to leave unless I really have something to do. But this is one place that I really just settle down, I settle in, and I'm able to converse, and I'll talk to you all day. But in general, whenever I'm out and about, I'm on my mail route, or if I'm doing, you know, anything, and working, doing stuff, one thing that really gets under my skin, and you all know people like this, is somebody who just can't get to the point whenever they're talking to you. They go around, you know, they go around their back to scratch their elbow, you know, and they go around circles, but they never get to the point. And so one thing I value in somebody is what they call a straight shooter, somebody that will just get to the point. That's the way I've always been talked to. That's the way we was in my family, that we, you know, we've always just been to the point. And, you know, you just, my mom's dad's like that. Right, Papa Hosey, and my grandpa's like that, my dad's like that. All of me and my family, just, that's the way that I was taught to be, is just to get to the point. And so that's bled into my life and the way that I handle things. And if you ever notice, that's the way a lot of times I preach. And if I have a message, that's just the way the Lord give it to me a lot of times, because that's my nature and that's the way He made me. And so a lot of times, instead of bringing out a point, I'll just go ahead and get to the point. Then I'll back up and I'll give y'all the details. My wife over the years, you know, a lot of times she's really good now. We've been married for 12 years. How long have we been married? 12 years? Going on 13? Yeah. Well, after that long of being married, she's got to a point lately where she does exactly that. She'll get to the point, then she'll tell me all the details. Like I'll give you an example, and this is just completely made up. But say tomorrow she's got to go to the doctor, the baby doctor, and find out about her sugar, okay? Well, used to would have been, she would have come in and she would have said, and right now I know I'm not getting to the point. I'm doing the exact opposite of what I'm supposed to be doing right. But I'm just giving you an example here. And this is pertaining to what I'm going to preach here in just a minute. Because this is the opening, understand, this is the introduction to a series. And I need y'all to understand the fullness of the introduction here. But in any case, she would come home and she would say, well, I went in there and I said, this is what I want to know. Do you have gestational diabetes? That's what I want to know. Do you do or do you not? Tell me that first, then tell me the whole story, how it all happened. You know, she would come in normally and tell me the, you know, whole story. But now, tomorrow I'm sure she'll come in and she'll say, well, I've got it. Or she'll say, well, I don't got it. And I'm like, okay, good. Or okay, well, we'll deal with it. What's your way it's going to be? Then she can tell me the whole story of how the process she went through and, you know, what all they had to do to find out. But in saying that, we study eschatology. Like I said, the study, that just means the study of end times prophecy. Talking about prophetic things that are related to the end of time as we know it, meaning the second coming of Jesus Christ, the tribulation I spoke of, the rapture, the millennial kingdom, all that is tied up in the end times. That final judgment, the white throne, the bema seat, all those things are tied into end times prophecy. And in studying that, you say, well, why do we need to know all that stuff that ain't going to happen yet? Well, there is a purpose behind knowing all these things. And the purpose of that is that we are constantly to be looking for the return of Jesus.
Yes.
And so that's what I want to read to you here tonight, and that's what we want to talk about, and that's what the title of the message is Jesus is Coming Back.
Yeah.
Is the title of the message. Jesus is Coming Back. Let me get over here to my notes. And no surprise, We're getting to the point, we're going to be in Revelation 22. We're going to start at the very end. We're going to, like a typewriter, we're just going to back up and then go through the end whenever we get more into this. But the message tonight is this, we're going to preach on this topic. Jesus is coming again. He will return. And in Revelation chapter number 22, I want to begin reading in verse number 7. Some of the last letters in the red in the Bible, last words of Jesus that we read here in the last chapter of the Bible. The Bible says this, it says, "Behold, I come quickly, says the Lord. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now John saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, and the bride of morning star. And the spirit of and the spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father, pray that you add your blessing to the reading of this word. God, that you be glorified. May the name of Jesus be exalted here tonight. And let us be reminded in our hearts and have a renewed wanting and desire for you. It's in Jesus' name we beg. Amen. First of all, I want us to notice this in verse number 7, and then again in verse number 12, and then in verse number 20. He says three times there, he says, I come quickly. He says, I come quickly. That means that he is without delay. That's what it means quickly. It's not as if he's coming quickly pertaining to what we would perceive as time, but it means that it's sooner than later. It means that he is not being delayed. There is not one thing that will delay his coming.
Right.
Understand this, that whenever God was dealing there, was going to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah, that he delayed his judgment because of the prayer of Abraham.
Yeah.
This is fact. We read this in the Word of God. We can read how that God delayed his judgment of the land of Nineveh, and he sent Jonah there, and And Jonah witnessed and preached to those folks, and they repented, but later judgment came. But it was delayed. And we can see how that God will delay some things in his mercy and in his goodness. But know this and understand this, that his delay, he will not be delayed in coming back whenever he comes as a reigning king. Amen. He will not be delayed. It does not matter if you have all of your affairs in order, so to speak. It does not matter if your children are grown like you want them to be, or if you've got one more grandkid that you want to see get in. It does not matter if you've got a friend that's out of church or out of the will of God. None of those things matter. He says this. He says that he will not be delayed. That's what it means that he's saying that he will come quickly. Yeah. Also notice that he says that three times there in the Word of God. There's other things in the Word of God that we see that are expressed three times. In Hebrew, when someone would say something in one conversation, and they would repeat themselves three times, to repeat themselves one time, would give a great emphasis to what they were saying. That's why Jesus would often say, verily, verily, whenever he was speaking. He was emphasizing the seriousness of what he was about to say. But whenever something was said three times, understand this, it's not in the way that you and I would speak English today that we would say something three times. It would just sound repetitive. If I was to say, I'm going to go home and get a milkshake. That doesn't even make sense to us in English. In Hebrew, what that would mean is I'm going to go home and get a milkshake. It means I'm going to go home and I'm going to get a milkshake. I'm going home and I'm going to get a milkshake. When you say it three times like that. It's compounding the importance or the significance of what's being said. If you notice back in Isaiah in chapter number 6, the first time one of the first times we see this repetitiveness in the same word is whenever Isaiah describes the beasts that are seated around the throne of God, and they're there night and day, and they're expressing this sentiment nonstop for all of time, and that is this: holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They're expressing the holiness of God. Again, we read that in Revelation, that we see that same picture. But also, if you remember, after Jesus' resurrection, when he's speaking to Peter, he tells Peter, he says, do you love me, Peter? He says, yes. He says, feed my sheep. He says, do you love me, Peter? He says, yes. He says, feed my sheep. He says, do you love me, Peter? He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, feed my lambs. Now, he said lambs, but he's saying the same thing, essentially. And what he's saying is he's addressing the importance of how important it is as Peter, being a man of God, to feed the flock of God. That's, he says, I'm charging you with this. I'm giving you this so we see the importance. And so we can understand that in the last thing that the Lord gives for man to write, from this point on, there's nothing to be added to the Word of God. We just read that, right? We read how in this very chapter, it says there's nothing else to be added to the Word of God. And so the last charge that the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gives to you and I is this. He says, I come quickly. I come quickly. I come quickly. He says, that's the last thing I want to be on your mind and to understand is that I am coming back. That it is a fact that it's something that will happen and it will be without delay. And it's of great significance to the Christian life. Yes, now, as far as the return of Jesus, the Bible tells us, and we're going to talk some more about this, Lord willing, Sunday. But the Bible tells us this, that we don't know the day or the hour. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
Yeah.
We don't know when he's coming back, but we know that he's coming back. Amen?
Amen.
And there's a lot of people that's tried to guess. There's a lot of people trying to figure out. You know why? One reason he don't tell us when exactly when he's coming back? Because he wants us to be on our toes.
Right.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
You know, my mama can testify to this. When I was a child in the first grade, I had a teacher over at George Run School. We was in one of them classrooms. It was out there in one of them single-wide trailers. I don't know if they're still out there. Is them single-wide trailers still out there at the schoolhouse? No, they used to be. Y'all probably don't remember, but there used to be single-wide trailers out there that they'd teach the bad kids in. And the teacher, we had a teacher, she's kind of wild. And I don't know if she's, you know, I don't know what she's into, I ain't gonna speculate, but she's hardly ever in there. And she leaves there all the time, you know. And she told Mama, she said, yes, Donnie's the lookout. She said, whenever if I leave the classroom, she said, I'll come back, I'll come out of the school door. She said, I can see through the blinds, I can see his face, and he's looking. And said, so he starts hollering, he says, she's coming back, y'all, she's coming back. And, you know, we start cleaning up, getting back home, just going, you know, I wasn't always the lookout, we'd take turns, but yeah, I was the lookout sometimes. But in any case, the teacher was away, and so obviously, you know, he was there, we was getting in trouble, we was playing. Nick, did you ever have classes with me in 8th grade? Was you in there with me and Jake and Jesse and all of us?
Right.
We had a teacher in 8th grade, she'd go out all the time too. I think we played drumming more than we did homework in 8th grade. But somebody'd always be looking, you know? Somebody'd always be keeping a check on that door, looking for the teacher to come back. Because whenever the teacher come back, you know, we know we had to straighten up. I can remember a lot of times, you know, Mom and Dad, when I was younger, you know, you make sure and clean up this X, Y, Z, whatever, before we get back. We're going, you know, before we get back, to clean this up. And I was okay, well, it wouldn't be cleaned up, it wouldn't be cleaned up. And, you know, we had a pretty decently long driveway, and I could see the headlights turning in. And so, you know, you'd be amazed at how quick I could get that cleaned up in that short amount of time. Because I know Mom and Dad's coming home. And I know that I have to get it cleaned up. And so what I'm saying is this, is that if we're left without any kind of accountability, then we tend to just play.
Yeah.
What did the children of Israel do when Moses was absent?
Yeah, yeah.
He went to go get the word of God from God. He went to go get the stone tablets. And he came back and said that he found them doing what? Playing.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Now we know that they was doing wicked things. I mean, that's the word that the Bible used.
Yes.
Meaning that they was being slothful. That they was doing things that were in vanity. That were not profitable to the kingdom of God. And that's what you and I do, and that's what we would do with our life, whether there were no imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, let me tell you this. What we do instead of getting things right with God, and instead of being about the Father's business, is we sit around more, spend more time hoping and wishing that He don't come back. Because we got some kind of unfinished business we want to get straightened out. Hey, let me tell you something. There ain't nothing in this world worth missing heaven for.
Right.
There ain't nothing in this world worth missing heaven for. Let me tell you something. As a Christian, as a preacher, as a pastor, I have had the mindset. And so it is not lost on me that even somebody who would be considered by their peers a mature Christian can have this false ideology to think that it is okay, this is a worldly mindset, but somehow or another we'll justify as Americans, Christian Americans, to think that it's okay to have people ahead of Jesus. And you say, well, no, of course not. But this is the thing, just stay with me a second. You might not even realize that's what you're doing. What I would do is I would say, you know what, I want the Lord to come back, but you know what, I hope it's not when my kids are with. Because they're not saved, what would they be left here alone? Me and my wife saved, and God takes us, and them kids are left here alone. How would they feel for themselves? What would happen to them? I think like that. I mean, is that not the natural way for a human to think? And you know, I think, well, to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. To live is for Christ, but to die is gain. And so it's great for me to be here and to be alive, but how much more to be better than me to be gone from this body and to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
But you know what? I hope it don't happen when my children are little and my wife's, you know, taking care of them because I have to go to work and I have to provide for them. How do they make it? You know what that's called? That's called a lack of faith. Mm-hmm. That's called being worldly minded. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what that's called. Now that hurts.
Yeah.
Because we tend to think that way, and we tend to allow ourselves to stay in that way of thinking. But this is the fact, is that if we're double-minded, meaning that if we're serving the things of the flesh rather than God, then we can't serve God. If we're going to serve God, then we got to serve God all the way.
Yeah.
We got to be sold out. That means this. That means that no matter what happens, I know that God's going to take care of my family no matter what happens to me.
Yeah.
That I'm not the source that takes care of them. You know that?
Right.
God is. Is that me?
Yeah.
Now, he uses my back to do it. Praise God. But you know what? If something happened to me, then he's going to do something he's going to take care of.
Yeah.
And you know what? As the Lord comes back right now today, and he takes me, and he takes my wife, and he takes my oldest son, maybe Camden, maybe not, I don't know. That's a story for another day. But Sawyer, I know he's lost. He'll be here. That's just fact. You know, like Camden says, he would like going to church. What's going to come of him? What's going to come to him? Do I sit and worry about that? Can I not trust God with that? Did I bring him into this world?
No.
Did I breathe the breath of life into that boy's lungs?
No.
Or does that not come from God? Amen.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. At what point in time ever did I love that young man more than God did? Mm. At what point in time ever did I love him more than God did? God loved him just like he loved me, just like he's loved you, more than you and I could ever even understand or know how to love. And guess what? God's going to take care, amen.
Yeah.
And say he did suffer famine or enslavement or whatever other horrific things that someone could imagine. If it cost you this life to gain eternity, it's not a great cost at all.
Right.
Paul, with all that he went through, he said, for our light affliction.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he had his mind set on eternity.
Yeah.
Them early Christians, they believed with all their heart that they'd see the day Jesus returned.
Yeah.
But he didn't. You said, well, they're fools. No, they wasn't as faithful.
Right.
That's what you and I would be looking for. Now, as we go into this study, we're going to see how you and I have greater cause to look and for Jesus and believe and know that he will return, and it is very, very possible and very likely that he will do it within our lifetimes.
Yeah.
And we will see that as we begin to study this in the weeks to come. But nevertheless, one thing that I believe that as Christians, especially here in America, that we do not focus on, that it's kind of just an afterthought or something we bury in our subconscious, is the fact that Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
He is coming back. He says, I come quickly. Now look at what he says about coming. He says this. He says, behold, I come quickly. Verse 7. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That means to guard them or to regard them in your heart, to retain them. It's not as if you're keeping something like you keep something in a pen or that you keep something stored up or something like that. But it's as if you are acknowledging something and regarding it. You're keeping the way of it. You know, it's like Jesse said this one time about this word and how they could be used different. How did you say it about keeping house? What's that saying you had? I like that. Tell me that again.
About keeping ship.
Yeah.
It just means when something's broken, fix it.
Yeah. That's right. Or you maintain it.
Right.
Keep it maintained.
Yeah.
Right. You don't allow it to fall into disrepair.
Right.
Right. Like keeping up a vehicle, keeping up a car. That's kind of the same thing. Keeping the prophecies of this book. That's what it means. It means don't allow it to fall into disrepair. Don't allow ourselves to get to a place where that we are no longer looking for the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now guess what? This is the thing. We should not see this as something that is frightening or threatening. As a Christian, now let me say this, if you're lost, then it should be frightening and threatening.
Yeah,
it should be. And I hope that by the preaching of the Word of God even tonight, that God's convicted your heart and that you make it right before you leave here. I pray that you'd come right now and say, God, save me. That when you return, that I'm going with you.
Yeah.
That's my prayer. That's what I hope tonight. But regardless, I'm going to share this with you. As a Christian, myself, knowing that I'm a Christian, having been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, there's been times in my life that these prophecies have been threatening and frightening to me as a Christian.
Yeah.
You know why? I'm going to tell you why. It's because I'm in love with this world. It's because I'm in love with my life in this world. It's because I'm in love with the things of this world. I'm in love with my job that I hate. I mean, makes sense. Right? Are you not? You know? Yeah, you are, Jesse. You'd be somewhere else. You're a professional upholsterer. You could go anywhere.
It would help me if I'd be riding wooden benches every morning.
Yeah. Don't say that. We love these pews. But I'm in love with all the things that attract me and interest me.
Yeah.
And all the wonderful things. And there's nothing wrong with having fun and enjoying God's creation and all that He gives us. But we're really bad to do like that godless crowd in Romans chapter 1 does.
Yeah.
And we make much of the creation over the Creator.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that. I think we're all guilty of that from time to time.
Yeah.
But you know what that does? It stifles and hinders the working of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and through us. And it stifles us from being able to reach people. Think about it this way, okay? When I was a kid, I had no problem with Billy dragging out all the blocks in that single wide trailer out there in first grade. I had no problem with Susie rolling herself up in the rug. I'm making this up, you know, but I'm just going to go along with it. I had no problem with Carl over there getting all the crayons out and pouring them out and drawing on the walls or whatever. But when the teacher's coming back, and I see her coming back, and I know she's about to come, I'm a yelling and a hollering, clean it up, here she comes. But whenever we believe and know that the Lord's coming back, then we begin to work as if He's coming back. Yeah. See, right now we live our lives as if He's not going to come. Mm. We live our lives unprepared. The Bible warns us so much and so often about this, that we should be prepared. The Bible tells us this in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. It says, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And that's just saying this, that He is coming again, and that we ought to be looking and anticipating and looking forward to His return. The reason we don't look forward to it, the reason we dread it, like I said, is because we love this world. We don't want Him to come back and interrupt all of our playtime and all the things that we're doing and enjoying in this world. And so that's why a lot of times I believe that's got a lot to do with the preacher you was talking about earlier, revival. That's why we don't have revival. That's why the Spirit is so dead in America as far as the churches go. It's because that we love our way of life rather than loving God and wanting God's will done. We want to continue doing the things we're doing.
Yeah.
I was talking to it was his clinic the other day. Somebody called me, and I said, I'm not answering this. He said, who is it? And I told him a name, and I said, I don't want to talk to him right now. I said, I'll call him back another day. He said, well, gosh. He said, what's he want? I said, he probably wants me to pray for him. He said, well, maybe you ought to call him back. I said, no, I ain't going to call him back right now. I said, he's an addict. And I said, the only time he calls me is whenever things ain't going his way. Whenever he's about to be in trouble, or he's about to lose one of his youngins, or he's lost his license, or something like that. I said, that's when they call him. And I said, I tell them the same thing. Come in and get right with God. And I said, baby, please pray for me. And I said, I've learned the best thing to do is whatever situation is right then, just wait, call them back a few days later. Don't judge me, okay? Listen, this is my lane. Okay?
Yeah.
And this is part of my ministry outside of this church that I do is with these people and the people I know from my past and some people I've met. But in any case, the Lord has shown me what works and what don't. And I can't treat them the same way I would treat one of you. Okay? Understand that, because you are an adult. You've been adopted. And I can treat you like an adult. But some people you just can't. And Clint, he didn't understand. I told him, I said, Nick understands.
I understand completely what
he's saying. Yeah, Nick understands. They probably do you the same way.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, because me and you were like that one time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the this is the case, though, this is what I told him. I said, they're just looking for easy out. But then I got to thinking about that in preparing for this message, and I was like, man, that's what I still do.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, Lord, come quickly, like John said, I'm like, well, Lord, just hold on. I want things to be right. I want our nation to be revived so we can have a good president and a good economy. Right? Yeah. I want our nation to be revived so that, you know, we don't have to suffer religious persecution or anything like that. It's not about seeing souls saved.
Right.
It's not about seeing the church awakened and seeing people getting right with God and seeing people just forsaking all to live for Christ. It's about seeing everything that we want to happen in our point of view.
Yeah.
And so really, I'm no better than that it is. And then I begin to say, you know what, Lord, I want more than anything to keep my focus, to keep my mind always on this, to say, Lord, come quickly. He says this, he says that whenever he comes, the second time he says in verse 12, he says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. The same God started this thing, will end this thing. Guess what we can look forward to? He's coming. He said he's coming. He didn't say that he's coming with chastisement. He's speaking to the church here.
Right.
Notice what he says here in verse 16. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to these things in the churches. He says, I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He's writing to the churches.
Yes.
He said, this prophecy is for the churches. He said, it's for the Christian. He said, it's for the child of God. And he says this. He says, I'm not coming with chastisement. I'm not coming with a rod to beat you down. He says, I'm coming with a reward in my hand. We ought to be looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, if we can realize and wrap our minds around just how sorry and miserable the world that you and I live in, and how wonderful and grand the place called heaven that He's got in store for you and I is, then we could forsake this God-forsaken place. God has forsook this place. He's already determined that He'll wipe this place clean.
Yep. Yeah.
I want to go where He's at.
Amen.
Well, I'm here. Sure, I want to live before Him. Amen. Praise God. And I want to enjoy the company of my wife. I want to be able to enjoy the fellowship of my Christian brothers and sisters. I want to be able to enjoy the beauty of God's creation and all the things He allows me to enjoy within that. But I don't want that to be my source of joy.
Right.
Or my anchor or my hope for the future. I am just a steward of all of God's goods. Because I am a pilgrim that is on their way. I'm on journey going home. Amen?
Amen.
A place where God has called me to. And that is in heaven. That's not down here in this earth. Lastly, I want to say this. This last time he says it there in verse number 20, he says this, sure, I come quickly. He says it's for sure going to happen. He said, I ain't going to change my mind on this. He said, I am coming back. The need here is having the urgency of preparation. Having our hearts prepared. Having our minds prepared. First and foremost, we need to make sure that our souls are prepared.
Yeah.
That we've been washed in the blood. That we know that whenever that trumpet sounds. Now, I'm talking about the return of the Lord. You can equate this to talking about His return in physical form to the earth as far as the millennial kingdom, or, you know, generally speaking, what we're looking at here and talking about is whenever He appears in the clouds and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, and then those who are alive caught up in there with Him. Okay, we're talking about the rapture of the church. We're not talking about His actual physical return to earth, but we're talking about Him calling the church. I look forward to that. Amen? That's something we ought to look forward to. What I want to pray, my prayer tonight is this. Lord, I want to have my heart and my mind prepared. I know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know no matter what, I'm going.
Yeah.
but I want to be looking for them.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that kid peeking out the blinds and just looking to see if I can get some cleaned up real fast before it gets here. I want to be already prepared. I want to be that one little good kid in the class. It's like, I don't care what the rest of us is doing, I want to behave. Because I know the teacher's going to come back. For once in my life, that's what I want to do. I do. I want to be always prepared. I want to be always about the Father's business because I know He's coming back. And I know it's a good thing. And I know that He's a rewarder of them that patiently wait for Him and look for His return.
Yeah.
I don't even have the time tonight to go through all the times in the Bible that He tells us to look for His return and to be prepared for His return. The parable of the virgins with the oil in their lamps, and there's just so many. In the New Testament, the Old Testament, being prepared for His return. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Is your heart and your mind set on looking for the return of Christ? Is that where your hope is at? Factor in that Jesus is coming.